This weekend at the Sullivan Center in Anchorage, Alaska, I moderated the presentations in the seminar tent for the Cannabis Classic Expo and Industry Awards. Speaking on Sunday was Karen Hendrickson, a pesticide program coordinator with Alaska's Division of Environmental Health, on the federal regulations concerning the use of pesticides on cannabis crops.
All right, so the first thing I'm thinking about is it safe? And that's really the bottom line, right? That should be the most important thing. The second thing, because I'm a regulator, we're going to talk a little bit about which pesticides are legal and how you figure that out. But I'm saving that for last because it's really the least important part. Okay, so is it safe? Pesticides are designed to kill things. They're dangerous. Some things are more dangerous than others, but, you know, we want to make sure that we're not doing damage to people with the chemicals we're using, or yourselves, or the people working for you. Okay, first thing we don't know. There's a bunch of stuff we don't know when it comes to pesticides and marijuana. The first thing is, if there's residue on the plant and you burn it, how does that pesticide change? Does it undergo some chemical changes? We don't know. How come we don't know? There's only really one other crop that's burned, and it's tobacco, right? Does anybody care if there's a little pesticide on tobacco? There's 20 other things in cigarettes that can kill you. Nobody's studying what happens to pesticides on tobacco. So we don't really know very much about pesticides. There's not a lot of study done on what happens to pesticides when they burn. So now we're breathing them into our lungs. For example, Eagle 20, it's a very common fungicide, very commonly used. It turns into hydrogen cyanide when you burn it. That is not something you want to inhale into your lungs. Okay, so some things that we think it's commonly used on other plants, we can use it here. Probably don't want to. All right. The other thing is, not only is it safe to inhale when it's burned, but is it just safe to inhale pesticides? There's not a lot of crops that are grown out there where people are inhaling these things into their lungs. Your lungs absorb things directly in your bloodstream. When you, let's say you eat some broccoli with some pesticide left on it, it goes through your digestive system and it's absorbed slowly. It gets filtered through your liver and your kidneys. When things go into your lungs, they go directly, bam, right into your bloodstream, right into your system. So it's a lot faster absorption. It's an exposure route that's more risky. So we don't know that much about how pesticides are absorbed when they come in through the lung system. So that's another thing we don't know about. And it's hard to know, you know, which things are safe because there's not a lot of science to back up our decisions. And contrary to a lot of, you know, decisions being made lately, science is really how we want to make our choices when it comes to using chemicals. Okay, we don't know how much pesticide residue stays on marijuana. There's a whole lot of things that go into how much pesticide residue is still on a plant, from how much sun or photo decomposition is going on, the humidity, the soil, the organic matter in the soil, the plant itself, how much is absorbed, how quickly it processes. These things are studied in detail on every other crop. We don't have that science on marijuana. So we can spray something on corn and know how much is going to be on corn 20 days later. We don't have that data for marijuana. We don't know. So most crops have a pre-harvest interval for each pesticide. And so here's an example of a label, and it's this product is for corn, a lot of other things too, but for the corn, it says, do not apply within 30 days of harvest for forage grain and stover, whatever kind of corn stover is. But now if you're doing ears of corn and forage type corn, it's 14 days. They've done enough study and gotten enough data to know that you need 30 days to process one type of corn and 40 days for the marijuana residue to abate on another kind of corn. They know these things for all the other crops. We don't know these things on marijuana. We don't have the data. And anybody who has questions, jump in, because I will just keep going. Okay. If we're concentrating down oils, some pesticides might dissipate through that process. Some pesticides might actually get concentrated along with the oil. So instead of having just one part per billion, if you concentrate things down, now you might have 100 parts per billion. That's a concern because we don't really know what happens when you concentrate down in oils. Okay, another thing we don't know is most plants are not grown for medicinal purposes. And in a lot of cases, we're using marijuana for medical uses. We don't know if people are, you know, more susceptible if they're dealing with cancer or they're dealing with other issues. So that's something else that we have to think about when we're thinking about what's a safe pesticide. We don't know. So we can look at tobacco. Tobacco gets smoked, but, you know, tobacco, like I said, has all these other things that are really hazardous to health. There aren't a lot of studies on tobacco and pesticides.
So are they using pesticides on tobacco and not telling people?
Oh, they're using tons of pesticides on tobacco.
Of course they are, 'cause they can.
Pretty much every crop in the U.S., unless it's organic, tons of pesticides. And even the organic crops, there's a lot of organic approved pesticides. So, tobacco probably has a lot of pesticides on it, but nobody's studying that. Okay, there are some other kinds of plants that are distilled down, like mint or citrus oils. You know, you get some of those essential oils, but they're not studied the same way. And, bottom line is marijuana is not the same as tobacco. It's not the same as mint. It's not the same, and we don't have the data. So we don't know what's safe. And that's why everywhere you look at Colorado, they have these complicated, you know, guidelines for which pesticides can be used. You go to Washington, Oregon, same thing. I mean, we, all of us in the regulatory community are going through the same thing here. It's like, how can we tell people what to use when we don't actually have the data to know what's safe? So that's a big, huge problem. We don't know what's safe, so I'm just going to go back through it. You know, we don't know if it changes the pesticide composition when it burns. We don't know if it's safe to inhale and get absorbed through the lungs. We don't know how much pesticide stays on the plant compared to other plants. We don't know what happens when we concentrate things down into oils. We don't know how much pesticide is safe for medical patients. So basically what I'm saying is just be really careful what you put on your plants. And we could talk about what things, some guidelines to look at, but the bottom line is you got to be careful because we just don't know what's safe. All right, questions about that aspect of things? Because now I'm going to get into like the legal parts of it.
Like when food gets sprayed out with pesticides, like our system can filter, right? We have a kidney, we have it, but like when you're smoking, it's going directly into your bloodstream.
Right, so he's talking about, you know, pesticides on foods and how our body absorbs it and it's filtered through your kidney and liver. And it's true. Your lungs absorb things so much more quickly directly into your bloodstream. We don't have studies to show how pesticides act when they're absorbed through bloodstreams. So that's a big safety concern. And one other thing you missed when I showed a picture of Eagle 20, which is a fungicide a lot of people use, and it turns into hydrogen sulfide when it's burned. So pesticides, hydrogen cyanide, sorry, yes. Not hydrogen sulfide. Yeah. Pesticides are designed to kill things. Well, we have a lot of studies and data on things like how long it takes the pesticide residue to dissipate from other crops. We don't have that study on marijuana. We have a lot of studies on the health effects at different levels for other crops. We just don't have it for marijuana. They don't study it on tobacco much. There's a lot of lobbying there, and there's a lot of, there's a lot of money. Yeah. Okay, so we basically established that we don't know what's safe. We don't have data. So let's talk about what's legal. And you guys are all really familiar with, you know, the federal versus the state, and it makes things complicated for us. So then the EPA is in a really interesting position. EPA approves pesticides. They do the studies. They figure out what's the safe levels. And they're a federal agency, but they can't approve anything for a product that's illegal federally, but it's being grown in all these states. So EPA is in a strange position. I was just in Portland, and we toured a really nice grow facility as part of our pesticide regulatory work. The EPA folks couldn't go with us. All the state folks could go. But because it's illegal federally, the EPA folks had to pretend like they didn't know what was going on. So they're in a strange position, trying to advise us on how we can figure out how to do this. Okay, bottom line, Federal law is the label is the law. You've all heard that term? The label is the law. If it says it on the pesticide label, that is federal law. It's also state law. It's something if you, you know, if it says apply 10 gallons and you apply 100 gallons, I'm going to be the one that comes and says, what were you thinking? You broke the law. Okay? You have to follow the label. So there's no labels that say, go ahead and put this on marijuana. Not a one. You won't find it. Not as long as it's federally illegal. Okay, so we have to look at this, how specific the labels are. Question? No? Okay. So if a product says you can only apply it to wheat, that's it. Wheat. That's all you get to apply it to. If a product says you can apply it to cereal grains, you can apply it to wheat, barley, oats, you know, a whole bunch. Because pesticides are approved at the federal level. So you will never see the word marijuana on a pesticide label. And we cannot approve something that violates federal law. But I'm telling you, there is some language flexibility. So here's where I'm getting into here. If it says wheat, only wheat. If it says cereal grains, you've got a lot of options, okay? If the label says you can only apply it to greenhouse tomatoes, just tomatoes. But if it says greenhouse plants, you're in, okay? I don't think hemp is going to be on a label either, because I don't think hemp cultivation is legal. Well, I'm not going to argue with you there, but when it comes to what you're going to find on a pesticide label and you can't violate the label, don't use a product that says only put it on tomatoes. Use a product that says put it on greenhouse plants. Then you're not violating federal law. Okay, so we're just talking about the regulatory stuff here, and I realize it doesn't make a lot of sense. But this is what we're dealing with, so this is the information you need to know to not break federal law.